Yo, yo, yo. Thanks for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Upgrade to a new Chevrolet with new safety and technology features, lower maintenance for the same or better payment, only at Lakewood Chev. Click on the icon right here on the website. Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, joins us. LT, what'd you think?
Well, I always ask, are you better today than you were yesterday? And I think for the Eskimos, the answer is no. The Eskimos have a reputation. We remember the mic thing from a year ago. There were always some issues there. And that has to be addressed. But this program has a great quarterback, I think. They're going in a good direction. They won a Grey Cup 2 years ago. They lost their coaching staff. But I thought Hervey did a hell of a job recovering, getting a good coaching staff in place. Maybe they weren't perfect. Maybe they had to make some changes, and they have. But it's pretty easy for me to write down a very quick bullet point resume on Ed Hervey that looks pretty damn good. So, it's that old adage, you better be right, because from what I'm reading, Eskimo fans are not pleased, and I don't blame them. This is not the kind of move that you want to see this time of year, and the idea that it's going to possibly go perfectly from here on in is nice and ideal, but if you get an injury or one or two things like that and the record goes south, this could be a very ugly year for the Eskimos.
Well, hey, that's valid. Injuries, who knows? Now, a lot of the heavy lifting for this season as a GM has been done. Right. Although the CFL draft, Al, as you've covered the league for a long time, that's a massive day.
Yeah, it is. And they've also got, the Eskimos are a mature team, so the likelihood of them getting a starter, right off the hop are not likely. But you've got to build and you've got to do very well there. The only team that's perfect in that area, I think, is probably Calgary. Everybody else has work to do. But this is also a time where you're probably have a list of players that you're interested in moving forward. You have the NFL draft, obviously, and then you've got the procurement that'll happen between now and training camp, which is just around the corner. You might have some guys in the pipeline that we're going to be signing here, and this is the kind of hiccup that you don't want when you're close to signing or have signed a player. So I have to say that this is a weird time to do this, and if money is an issue, even then you're going to have to go out and get another guy, so you're probably going to be paying more money. It's a strange day.
Well, they definitely will be paying more money for this year, right? Unless they're going to go the whole year without a GM.
Yeah, and then you're going to pay whoever does the extra job a little more money. I think the two things that were mentioned were money and then the way of it being more open, and I think there's probably elements of both, but there's something about this story that as we're seeing it, that I think that there are a few things about it that don't make sense to me, and one of them is, why on earth would you do it right now?
Well, I'm guessing they felt like there was just and Ed had told me this last week that there had been, they kind of had stalled in negotiation talks. So I'm assuming that was probably a big part of it. And they felt like, well, if we can't get on the same philosophical page, then no point waiting, right? It's kind of like a breakup. You always look at your friends who are like, you know what? Why are you still sticking with her? Why are you still sticking with him? Like, cut the cord.
Well, good point. You're right. If you're going to do it, get it done and move on.
Edmonton Oilers are now virtually a guaranteed second place. They need 1 point in their final two games against the Vancouver Canucks. They only allow 15 shots. Now, sure, you gave up some good scoring chances, but 15 shots on goal is 15 shots on goal, season low for the Oilers. And I fell for long stretches last night. The San Jose Sharks did nothing offensively.
Yeah, San Jose had a really good start, I felt, and they were hemming the Oilers in, although the shots weren't brilliant or anything. The goals were, I don't think Talbot saw the second goal. The first goal was a little bit of bad luck. So I think the Oilers did pretty well to keeping things to the outside, and when they were rolling, they were far more dangerous than San Jose was. Now, the Sharks didn't have Thornton, and they didn't have Couture, so we have to make that allowance, but Lucic, what a night he had, and McDavid is a freak. He is so dangerous. During the anthem, I'm convinced he'll score one day during the anthem. Klefbom looked good. It was a great night. If you're an Oilers fan and you stayed up late enough to watch that game, you've got to be pretty excited. That's a team that can, especially in the third period, I just thought they really, really played well.
Well, you look at that line, Eberle, Nugent, Hopkins, and Lucic, and, you know, the last few games they've been really good. Obviously, the McDavid line is still great. Like, that's the thing. McDavid gets 2 points, and it's kind of considered, quote, quiet 2 points. And Oscar Klefbom gets 4, and no one's talked about it.
Yeah, and Oscar was, like, booming that big shot. Like, he's, you know, Oscar has, I think he's got 36 points right now, and he's really blossomed this year, and he's just going to get better. That's a you know, if you're talking about good contracts Peter Chiarelli has signed, that contract is already looking good, and it will for many years, because this guy has, you know, he can boom the shot, he can carry the puck, he can pass the puck, he can play defense, and with, along with Larson, they're looking really good there, and they're not an expensive pairing. They're just over $8 million. Oscar looks great. I was so pleased for him, and not only he did the little thing where you know, he comes in over the line, takes a pretty good shot, but then he has the presence of mind to find the puck and pass it out to Milan Lucic. I think he's very comfortable right now, and he's starting to be aggressive offensively, and that's a really good sign.
Alan Mitchell, aka Low Tide, joins us. What'd you make of the Nurse and betting pairing last night?
Well, I thought they were better than they were the previous night. I think Darnell has such great speed, and I really like him out there. I thought Benning was in the last two games, I think he's been a little bit aggressive where he needs to be, maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit more cautious, but I like that part of his game. I like the aggression and the ability to move the puck. He may be wearing down a little bit, Benning, and Nurse may have a little bit of a wobble because he's such a young defenseman. You got to play these guys because I think they're both going to be really good NHL defensemen. And so this, you know, this is an important playoff for everybody, but for these young guys, getting experience, you get experience this year, you'll be better next year. That's the way it always works. And they're both, I think they both have great pedigree. And Darnell Nurse, when he's skating with the puck, that's a sight to see. He is in full flight. He's pretty amazing.
Which game would you play Cam Talbot?
Oh, God. Well, I think you play him Saturday. You know, I mean, you come home and you play Sunday night again. I think you look, you know, you're not going to play him both games, so you have to play him one. I would play him Saturday to set up Sunday.
Okay. Oh, so you want to guarantee the win? See, to me, I would go Brassois on Saturday because, A, I have confidence that he can lead the team to a victory anyway. And, B, then Talbot has 2 days off, play Sunday, has 2 days off, and if they start, they go Wednesday. Otherwise, it's Thursday potentially. And I guess they don't – maybe the orders know, but from what I've been told, there's no official word yet because no one knows who's playing who yet. So what if you play Talbot Saturday, but then they don't play till Thursday? Right. So to me, that's why I'm playing Talbot on Sunday, because then there's less of a break between games for him.
Well, and yeah, I mean, it's an either or. I don't think you're going to play him in both.
Oh, but no chance. Yeah. I don't see any reason why.
But I think if you play Brassois at home, you've got, you know, look, they should win both games. Fair. Like, I think that if you're an Oilers fan, the stake to the heart for first place in the Pacific Division will be that Anaheim is more likely to beat L.A. But if you're Vancouver is, I don't know if they're trying for the higher lottery slotting, but I think Arizona just passed them. So chances are you're going to get 4 points this weekend.
You would hope so. But, teams, we saw the Oilers beat teams down the stretch as well. But, you know, the Oilers are still playing for something, especially tomorrow night's game. Right, because Anaheim doesn't play until Sunday, so the Oilers look and say, hey, we win tomorrow, that still gives us a chance for first place. So I would expect them to have another, you know, you would hope, solid performance against a team who clearly is inferior to them right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's still stuff to play for. You know, McDavid to get 100 points, the Pacific Division, you may not win it. I think it's unlikely the Oilers win it. I think Anaheim will win on Sunday. But still in all, you want to push for that. And they're playing really well. Like, they're what, 9-2 in their last 11 games? This is a really good hockey club. So, I wonder who they might rest aside from Talbot. And I don't know that there's anybody, to be honest.
I would guess one of Larson or Russell, guys who have been banged up all year. I could see them, and then, you know, they'll switch guys maybe in their fourth line. But, like, I know we've had a lot of people wondering, oh, do you rest McDavid or Draisaitl? I'm like, I don't think there's any chance. A, they're young kids, and B, you know, both of them are going for big point totals, so I don't see any reason to rest them.
Yeah, and I, like, you know, try taking McDavid out of the lineup. He's got a chance at 100 points at the age of 20. That's a rare, rare item, and especially in this era where where what you know, players score, one player a year maybe scores 100 points, and he has a chance to do it in his first full NHL season. Good luck. Good luck getting him not to dress.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. Very few coaches ask their best players when they're young not to play, right? Like, I don't ever remember Wayne Gretzky sitting out the final game of the season.
Yeah, and you know, the mindset now is you want to go into the, you know, you, and your point about Larson and Russell is a good one. These are guys who block a lot of shots, play a heavy game. They probably have, you know, they're not healthy. They're not 100%. They won't be until midsummer. So, you know, if they've got a nagging injury and a little time off is in the cards and you could do it, great. That's a great idea because you probably want Grimey to play at least one of these games this weekend anyway.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Grivas playing for sure this week, and I don't see any reason why he shouldn't. I've had no problem with Grivas play at all. One last one for you. You look at that combination of Lucic, Eberle, and Nugent Hopkins, and you know what? I really think for last month, they've started to come around.
They have, and they're not, you know, they're scoring more, but they're also, you know, they play really tough competition. That line plays really, really difficult minutes. And I've been impressed with Jordan Eberle. He's being asked to play more of a two-way role. And you know, and I also give Todd McClellan some credit because in terms of you know, being asked to do that, he's the coach I think is getting most out of Jordan Eberle during his career. Eberle's taking a hit to make a play. He's harder on the puck, even though it's not necessarily what you know would want on a Milan Lucic line. He is working hard in those tough areas. And Nuge is, you know, I mean, he's showing a little bit more offense, and that's kind of gone away from him, but it's showing up a little bit. And Lucic is, I mean, I think he's been really good the last, what, month or so? And obviously he had a hat trick last night, but I think this is the time of year you want a big guy like that to perform well, and he's doing well.
Al, well, Sergio Garcia.
Oh, God.
Who is currently tied at the top of the leaderboard. Will he win a major?
I will cry if he does. I would so love to see him because he's been, as you know, this is a guy who, I mean, God, everything that could possibly happen to you in a golf tournament has happened to this guy, right? And so, and he's been the best guy who hasn't won for about 100 years now. And it is not, you know, we're not talking about early or mid-career. This is, you know, this is almost to the point where if it doesn't happen soon, it won't happen. I'd be thrilled, absolutely thrilled for him. That would be such a great way to start the first major of the year to have Sergio win. A lot of golf fans would be cheering like hell for that.
And Canadian Adam Hadwin is a rookie currently in a I think it's a 14-way 19th place tie, but he's at +3, and you know what? He'll make the cut. There's no doubt. So he'll make the cut in his first appearance at the Masters. Good for him.
Oh, I love it. This looks like it's going to be a really good lineup. Just looking at the leaderboard, I'm watching a little bit of it today. The wind though is pretty funky, eh? Like it's been an interesting first 2 days of the Masters.
Oh yeah, it's been brutal. Al, have a good weekend.
Good, you too.
Oh, quickly, who are the Oilers playing on? Who are they playing first round? What's
It'll
your guess?
It'll be San Jose.
San Jose.
Yep,
makes sense.
Yeah,
all right, man.
It's going to be a great series.
Alan Mitchell, aka Low Tide.